Be gentle with yourself. Gentle with yourself in meditation. Don't judge yourself. And being gentle with yourself allows us just to be gentler and kinder with other people, which can be contagious.
Hello and welcome to the Daily Helping with Dr. Richard Schuster. Food for the brain, knowledge from the experts, tools to win at life. I'm your host, Dr. Richard. Whoever you are, wherever you're from, and whatever you do, this is the show that is going to help you become the best version of yourself. Each episode, you will hear from some of the most amazing, talented, and successful people on the planet who followed their passions and strive to help others. Join our movement to get a million people each day to commit acts of kindness for others. Together, we're going to make the world a better place. Are you ready? Because it's time for your Daily Helping. Thanks for tuning into this episode of the Daily Helping. I'm your host, Dr. Richard, and I am so excited about our guest today. We're bringing back to the show world-renowned consciousness teacher, Peter Russell. He's the author of How to Meditate Without Even Trying, which is available everywhere, and 11 other books, including Letting Go of Nothing and From Science to God. If you want to catch our first conversation, but from way back in 2021, that was episode 226, and we'll have a link to that in the show notes for all of you. But Peter is a teacher of meditation for more than 50 years. He believes the critical challenge of today is freeing human thinking from the limiting beliefs and attitudes that lie behind many of our problems, be them personal, social, and global. He's inspired thousands of people all over the world through his talks, teachings, retreats, and popular online courses. And I am so honored to bring him back to talk to us today. Peter Russell, welcome back to the Daily Helping. It is fantastic to have you with us today.
Yeah, thanks, Dr. Richard. Lovely to be back with you again. Looking forward to this.
As am I, you know, and such a timely book, because we were talking a little bit before we hit the record button, and I was sharing a conversation I had with somebody recently who, you know, talked about, you know, they know meditation's important and they've always wanted to do it, but they just can't sit there. So before we get into the book, and usually, you know, I have people tell their whole backstory, but, you know, you and I have spent some time together, and I don't want to rehash what we talked about 5 years ago. But simply, you know, you're known world over for being this guru, and it's kind of surprising, given all the other books you've written, that we've got now a How to Meditate book. So I'm curious as to why, like, what was it that made you really feel compelled to write this book now?
As I say, I've been meditating most of my life and teaching meditation, and I've given lectures, I've got an online course, I run retreats, I have a local group, but I've never pulled all my thinking together in one place. And so I just had this idea to do this in a book, and just not about any particular technique, but just lots of things that I've learned over my life of what makes meditation just easier and more effective and more enjoyable. As you say, people, they find it hard. My experience is it needn't be difficult at all. And a lot of that comes from people putting effort into it, et cetera. And because I think we all need it. I think almost everybody needs it in the world today. We're so busy and stressed and wound up about things. We all need to be able to just step back and just relax for a little bit each day.
And I'm wondering too, because I think, and you tell us because you're the expert, but a lot of people probably have these ideas about what meditation is. And maybe they're right, because there's a lot of different kinds of meditation. But for so many people, like this person that I was talking to conversationally, meditation is such a daunting thing. And I do think in our world today, we're more open to the idea of meditation. I think probably go back 20, 30, even maybe 15 years, people were less open to it. Now, I think a lot of people are open to it, but they don't know how to approach it.
Right. As you say, there's so many different techniques around with different goals, purposes, and different practices. The techniques I'm interested in are those that just allow the mind to settle down, become quieter. I often call it just sitting quietly with yourself. While meditation is loaded, it means you've got so many different associations. And sitting quietly with yourself, it sounds simple, but actually when you try to do it, you find, you know, thoughts coming in and things. And most people, when they start meditating, they have this idea, oh, I can't control my mind, I'm no good at it. And it's completely natural to have thoughts coming in. It's like, how do you deal with it? And also people have this idea, you've got to meditate for years before you get anywhere. I mean, my experience is right from the beginning, people can begin to taste that inner stillness, that inner quietness. And that's what it's about. So I'm interested in those practices which actually help the mind quieten down. I think that's what we all want, to just be to relax, let go of all those busy thoughts. And just it's like coming back home, I feel. It feels like that to me, coming back to ourselves.
What a great analogy. And I think that, you know, for many people, and we know that the research is pretty clear, meditation has really great benefits for one's psychological well-being and their physiological well-being. So there's no downside to this at all. So I like that you're also positioning this, Peter, as, you know, there's a lot of techniques, right? It's like, okay, I want to prepare chicken. Well, there's a lot of different ways to prepare chicken. And so take us through, though, if somebody is listening to this and they said, oh, yeah, I'm so grateful for this episode because I've wanted to meditate all my life. I have no idea what the heck I'm doing. So let's, for that listener, and I know there's a lot of you out there, Peter, talk to them.
Yeah. Well, the first thing to do is you don't have to sit in any particular position. You just sit comfortably and alert because you want to stay awake. That's important. You don't want to be lying down. And then I just suggest to people, you close your eyes and just take a few deeper breaths and just allow yourself to exhale. And when you do that, you just feel the body beginning to relax and the mind just a little bit. And then it's really just noticing your experience in the present moment, sounds around you, sensations in the body, maybe little thoughts flicking in and out. But it's not about trying to get anywhere. This is really important. So often we're always trying to get to some higher state of consciousness or some particular experience. That can happen. But in the basic meditation, we're not trying to get anywhere. We're actually trying to stop trying to get anywhere and just coming back to, being here now in this moment and letting go of the thoughts which keep distracting us away from now. And when you do that, you just find the body begins to relax even more. And I say, thoughts come in. Thoughts will always come in. And you'll be off on some story about something or other. And for me, the key thing is not to feel you've gone wrong or to blame yourself. It's completely natural. But just when you notice being caught in a thought, we can actually make a choice not to follow it anymore, not to be interested in it anymore. We can be interested in it later, but just now, for this moment in the meditation, I will be more interested in the present moment and how it feels to be sitting here. And even noticing maybe some little increase in quietness or silence in the mind, just noticing that. So just being interested in the moment rather than interested in the thought. And so that's all we're essentially doing, is just shifting our interest away from all thoughts. Take us out into the past and future. They're always taking us away from the present moment. So it's coming back, oh yes. Oh, I'm noticing that feeling in my body, but not concentrating. I mean, there's a lot of techniques, you know, which concentrate on the breath or concentrate on your heartbeat or concentrate on something else. I like to call it a more zoomed out approach. We're not focusing in, not zooming in, but just zooming out. Here I am. Here's the present moment. Here's that sound. Here's whatever it is, just relaxing into your experience here and now.
What I'm enjoying about this is, because I know there's a lot of people who would use meditation to manage stress, right? And stress has two parts, really, the physical part and then these thoughts. And you frame something really interesting that I've never heard anybody express before. Thoughts take us out of the present because they're either focused on the past or the future. That's fascinating. And so, but if somebody is, let's say somebody's having financial problems or they lost their job or, you know, whatever the situation is, that's their overwhelming thoughts. So from your perspective, the thing to do is not to say, oh, those thoughts are bad, or don't have those thoughts, because you're going to have the thoughts. You're just saying in that moment, when you're sitting there quietly with your eyes closed, sitting up and you're taking these breaths, to just say, okay, I'm allowed to have this thought and it's okay. And then to shift and just try and focus on the present.
Yes. Except particularly if you've got something on your mind, it's quite natural that that thought will come up and probably keep coming up in meditation. But we're just taking, you know, whatever it's 15, 20 minutes to, I also like to use the word vacation. We're having a vacation from all that thinking, all that worry. And so we're just almost agreeing with ourselves that for 20 minutes, say 20 minutes, I'm going to leave that behind. And it's going to keep coming up. But I say, when it does come up, it's just that thing of saying, okay, right now, I don't need to follow that thought anymore. And just to, as I say, come back. How's the present moment? Except when you stop following a thought, and say it takes you out of the present, when you stop following it, what you'll notice is almost automatically the present awareness just reemerges. Ah, here I am sitting in the chair. Here's my breath. Here's my body. Here's my mood, whatever it is that's going on. And one small point there, use the word focus, which we often use, you know, in meditation. For me, as I said, it's not focusing the attention. It's actually allowing the attention itself to relax. So one phrase I often use when I'm teaching meditation is, can your attention be softer? Can it be less focused? Can your attention be more relaxed? And so that to me is what makes this very different from other practices where you're deliberately holding the attention somewhere. In this practice, we're just letting the attention soften, just letting it relax.
That's really an interesting distinction. And I'm curious about something because I like the way this book structured. It's in three parts. Part one is called Allowing. Part two is Letting Go, which is, it feels like where we've been talking about. There's a chapter in section two, Letting Go, called Self-Created Discontent. Peter, talk to us about what that means.
Okay. There's two sorts of discontent. There's discontent, it's cold, I don't like it being cold, we do something about it. I'm hungry, I'm discontent because I'm hungry. So there's reasons in the world that we're actually discontent, and usually physiologically discontent. And that's a very natural motivation to do something, to eat food, warm ourselves, whatever it is. It's a natural motivation. Yet most of our discontent is stuff we create for ourselves in the mind. It's like, oh, you know, I really wasn't happy about what I said to that person yesterday. And you start blaming yourself. You're making yourself discontent about something that happened, or more often about the future. You know, what if this were to happen? What if I were to do that? Or what if, whatever it is, we're imagining situations which at the time may cause discontent, but actually in our imagination, we are creating discontent right now in the present moment. And that to me is unnecessary. So where there's natural discontent, that's great. But because we create this self-created discontent, we then fall into, okay, what am I going to do about that? Actually, it hasn't happened yet, whatever it is. There's nothing to do about it. When, if something were to happen and there's a genuine discontent, unhappiness, then you can decide, okay, what's the most appropriate thing to do? But what happens, and you'll notice this in meditation, because you start noticing your thoughts, what happens, you have some self-created discontent. And then your mind goes about, okay, what should I do about that? What should I say? Or what should I have said? And we go off on some journey. So this discontent we create for ourselves is actually fueling a lot of our thinking.
Hey guys, Dr. Richard here. For the past 7 years, I've been privileged to bring you incredible guests who are changing the world and can help you become the best version of yourself. I'm really excited to share with you a new quiz that I created based on my clinical training that will curate for you a custom list of my top episodes and actionable strategies to help you wherever you are on your journey. All you need to do is go to drrichardschuster.com to take it, and it's 100% free. You'll be taking the next step on the journey to unlocking the power of you, and I can't wait to see where you'll go. You also talk about silence in your book, and ironically talk about the sound of silence, which is interesting. So tell us what you mean about that.
Well, silence, I mean, we know what silence is in terms of the physical world. You know, you turn the music off, you stop the conversation. And when you do that, you notice what it's like to be silent. And it's the same with the mind. So, I mean, we might rephrase it to begin with, noticing greater quietness as the mind begins to settle down in meditation. Just noticing how it feels. And it's like, oh, yes, it does feel a bit quieter. And in that quietness, we can actually notice the degree to which the mind has become silent. It's like, ah, yes. And it's quieter. There's not so much happening, which is a lovely experience in itself. And then as the mind quietens even more, people often notice just the background sound. It's not even a sound. It's just this sense of, I say the sound of silence. It's almost like, how does silence feel? That's a better way. How does silence feel? And sometimes, you know, people notice, oh, there is this sort of background, whatever it is, sort of a hum or something in the mind. There's some activity going on, but it's not thinking. It's just something there in the background. But that's something you notice actually when you've been meditating, you know, maybe for some time and have got more familiar with the quietness. You can begin to notice. I'm prepared to say how silence feels, noticing how silence feels and what comes along with it.
I love that. Peter, you just mentioned that somebody who's been meditating for a little while might, you know, be more adept at, you know, noticing the silence and being comfortable with it. If somebody's listening to this, they're like, okay, Peter, yes, you're talking to me. I need to do this. You said this is not like 2 hours. This is like a 10, 15 minute thing. But people are busy. They're working. They've got to go get the kids, whatever it is. So how do you bring this in to one's life, not only as a practice, but like finding time to meditate, but then other ways that they could utilize these techniques that are in the book all through their life?
Yes, several ways. One, coming back to the first point, I think, you know, we can always find time to, you know, go to Netflix and watch a bit of a movie. Like, we do find time to do other things. So it's a question of priority. And for me, it's like, it's a priority just to step back and come back to this more quieter state, to let go of all the stressful thinking. And what you're learning in meditation is basically what I was saying, is how to step back from the thoughts, how to not be engaged in them so much. So in daily life, I see meditation as a training that we can apply in daily life. And so, you know, you suddenly notice, oh, I'm caught up in this thought, I'm worried about this. But I don't need to be worried. You can just practice that. Let me just come back to noticing my experience in the moment. I encourage what I call both mini meditations and micro meditations. Mini meditations are short, couple of minutes. You know, maybe you're stuck in traffic, or you're on hold on the phone, or you're waiting for something, or you're waiting for the kettle to boil, whatever it is. You've got a little bit of waiting time. Instead of like thinking or going off on some thought or trying to fill it in, just, here I am. And just like take a few breaths and just notice, here I am. Here's the present moment. What's it like? And just, so we have a little short, that's a mini meditation, just a couple of minutes. And you can do that several times a day. There's lots of times when you just find, I've got a couple of minutes. Instead of looking for something to do in those 2 minutes, actually take time to just do nothing, stop doing. And then there's what I call micro meditations. And these are very short. These are just 10 seconds. That's something like that. I mean, fraction of a minute. Between two tasks, like between I've finished talking to you, and rather, you know, immediately rushing off, okay, doing the next email or whatever it is. There's lots of times in the day where we can just pause. Just take a pause. That's all it is. It's just stopping what we're doing. And the best times are usually between two tasks, you know, between, say, doing an email and picking up the phone. Pause and just notice, just take a breath and just notice, here I am. There's that thought. I'm busy or caught up in that thought, but it's coming back. Here I am in the moment. And then from there, getting on with the next task. So instead of coming from it, from a continual doing, 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 which can increase the stress, you're just taking like this very short break. And you can do that many, many times in the day. Like another practice is every time you get into the car, you just stop, get into the car, sit there, go, or at the end of a car journey, many, many, many times in the day, we can just pause, very short pause. And I find that so valuable. It just reconnects me with that quieter state of mind.
Well, it's interesting because what you've essentially done by creating these mini and these micro meditations is you've even reframed what meditation is, right? Because now you're saying anywhere that you have space between two tasks, a moment before you start the car, you have these mini and even these micro moments where you have an opportunity to just inject a little bit of peace and calm into your life. I had a guest many years ago, and I'm embarrassed to say his name eludes me at this second, but I always took what he said. He talked about filling the minutes, right? If he has a meeting that's scheduled from 1 to 2 and the meeting ends at 1:53, all of a sudden he has 7 minutes. And we all have things like that, right? Like we have these mini gaps in our day. And he talks about filling those minutes. What if we filled those minutes with what you're talking about? How much better would we all be?
Oh, so much better. So much better. We'd just be less stressed, more relaxed, and clearer. Another thing that meditation does, it clears the mind. And it actually, you notice a sort of a sense of clarity. It's like, you know, it was a misty day and the mist clears. It's like you see things more clearly. And I think it's the same with meditation. The mind becomes clearer and you see things more clearly and you need to see, oh, this is what's important right now rather than rushing to do this. So it also gives you a clarity of mind as well as that relief from the stress and the thinking and the relaxation.
I want to spend a few minutes, Peter, talking about the third section of the book because it sounds more like, okay, you've gotten to this point of, and now you're kind of evolving your thinking because it's talking about self-awareness and awakening and, you know, this timeless wisdom that we acquire. So talk to us kind of about this third section, because I know this is a book for people who have been meditating for a while and people who have never done it or been too intimidated to do it maybe. But this is kind of like a next step, right, in this, an evolutionary thing. So talk to us about this.
Right. And I deal with this in the book because you'll find many practices are talking about greater self-awareness, finding the true self, that sort of thing. And I think it is important because, well, first of all, let me distinguish between the ego and the self. The ego is, the ego is me, Peter Russell, writer, whatever, and I have my concerns, my problems. You know, it's me as an individual, how I'm doing in the world, what's going to help me survive, etc. That's what we call the ego. Behind that, there's a sense of self that is always there. The eye that is listening to you now, the eye that is experiencing speaking to you now, is the same eye that was there yesterday, last week, years ago. In fact, how it feels to be I, not I, ego, Peter Russell, how it feels to be I that is experiencing this moment is the same as it felt as far back as I can remember when I was a teenager, a kid. So that aspect of ourselves never changes. And that's what people mean by the pure I or the true self or whatever. It's that sense of I am. Not I am Peter Russell, but I am. Just I am, period. Which we can all recognize. We can just pause and just say, oh yes. I mean, even right now, here I am, each of you experiencing this podcast. You may be having thoughts going on, but here I am, this being that's been me all my life. And It's really important. It's helping us step outside of the ego mind, and it's coming back to this sense of just pure being. And it's a lovely place. That's what I call, that's really coming home to myself. And as you progress in your meditation, you can begin to notice this. You may notice it right from the beginning, but often as we get the hang of just letting the mind become quiet, then in the meditation, we can just notice whatever's going on is like, oh, here I am. Here I am, the one who's experiencing all this. And that in itself is just so, it just feels so good. And it's true. And it's taking us right out of all that individual egoic personality. And so that's why I talk about that, because I think it really is an important thing. We all need to do that as well. But it takes a while to get used to just noticing your inner state, how it feels, noticing the quietness. And even in the quietness, the stillness, there's still that sense of, I am here.
You end the book talking about gratitude. And gratitude is something that I've touched on many, many times over the years on this show. But talk to us about your take on gratitude and as it relates to meditation in particular, why it's so important.
Okay, my take on gratitude, I mean, lots of people talk about gratitude. It really is important. I mean, for me, talking about the ego, gratitude is not an egoic feeling. The ego is always proud of what it has done. A gratitude is thankfulness for what the world has brought you or other people have brought you. So it's taking you out of the ego mind. It's a good place to start meditation. And so what I encourage people to do as sort of not part of the practice, but an additional practice you can play with is when you sit down, just to be grateful for anything. Anything, it doesn't matter. You can be grateful for the fact that it's a nice day. You can be grateful for your life, for your friends, whatever, or grateful, whatever it is. But then when you're grateful, to feel what gratitude feels like, because there's a feeling it's associated. Often we just go to our heads, we go to our minds, oh, I'm grateful for this, I'm grateful for that, which is wonderful. But deeper is the sense, this is how gratitude feels. Oh, it's an opening of the heart. When you're grateful, it's a real opening of the heart. And so in meditation, you can just bring that gratitude in and notice the feeling in the heart, which is also, it's part of the present moment. Whatever comes up is part of the present moment. So you can just notice, this is how it feels. And you'll find that really, I find, helps the meditation. But it also just, I think it just helps you in life. I mean, that's why I think so many teachers have said that gratitude is the key to many things.
What I appreciate about how you framed that was talking about how gratitude feels, because one of the things that I won't say I fear, but it just seems like in this space, in the self-help world, gratitude has almost become cliche. And we just find us, I'm grateful for my family and grateful for having a roof over my head and I'm grateful for food and water. But after you say the same thing a gazillion times, it doesn't mean as much, right? And so, but to frame it under, it's not so much what we say we're grateful for, it's the actual feeling of gratitude. That's different.
That's different. And it needn't, that's why it's just the feeling of gratitude, almost independent of what you're grateful for. Whatever you can be grateful, you say, for many, many different things. But the one thing they all have in common is this feeling of gratitude. And I think it's really important just to get in touch with that feeling.
Peter, this has been such a wonderful conversation. Our first one was, I knew this one would too. Your books are so profound and so important. As you know, when I close an episode, I ask my guest, just this one question. So you got to give me a different one than you did 5 years ago.
No idea what I said 5 years ago.
The question is, what is your biggest helping? That one most important piece of information you'd like somebody to walk away with after hearing our chat today?
Be gentle. Be gentle with yourself. Gentle with yourself in meditation. Don't judge yourself. And being gentle with yourself allows us just to be gentler and kinder with other people, which can be contagious. So be gentle, be kind.
Well said. The book is called How to Meditate Without Even Trying. That's available everywhere, and we'll have a link to that in the show notes as well. Peter, if people want to learn more about you, where do they find you online?
PeterRussell.com. Easy peasy, just 2 L's on Russell. Don't spell it the French way. PeterRussell with 2 L's.com. And I've got hundreds of pages of my writings, talks, videos, meditations. It's all there. That's the starting point.
And we'll have links to all that, as I said, in the show notes at drrichardschuster.com. Well, Peter, thank you for joining us today. What a great conversation. What an important book.
Yeah, I've loved it too. Thank you.
Absolutely. And thank you to each and every one of you who took time out of your day to listen to this. If you're going to go find yourself a mini or a micro moment to meditate today, do that. And then go give us a follow and a 5-star review in the podcast app of your choice, because this is what helps other people find the show. But most importantly, go out there today and do something nice for somebody else, even if you don't know who they are, and post it in your feeds using the hashtag MyDailyHelping, because the happiest people are those that help others.